You know what we need? We need a radio show on the air, like maybe on Saturday nights, that talks about this kind of thing.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman here. I want to let my listeners know about a brilliant Renaissance man named Dr. Arthur Perry.
You want to talk to Arthur Perry? The best in plastic surgery.
He's a distinguished, award-winning cosmetic surgeon trained at Harvard and Cornell with a practice in New York City on Fifth Avenue.
Dr. Oz, are you there?
I'm here, Arthur, and I want to applaud you, having worked with you on a book and numerous other activities.
He's written numerous medical journal articles, and he's contributed to textbooks on plastic surgery.
Your remarkable knowledge, but also your grace at delivering content, which is why it's been a blessing to have you on my show so many times.
It's clear that when it comes to skin and aging, this doctor knows what he's talking about.
Joan, the public wants to know.
The public doesn't give a damn.
As a really, really gifted physician, I want to pay you the highest tribute I can give to a surgeon, which is when people come to you, they don't come for an operation, they come for an opinion. And that's why I trust you with my friends and relatives.
When I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a...
That means you're smart.
I didn't realize we were going to get the Michael Jordan of plastic surgeon. 90210 bows to this guy.
And welcome. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. And it is a beautiful weekend in New York. I hope the sun really does come out tomorrow. They're talking about rain. No, we can't have that. We want you to put your sunscreen on and get outside. And that's right. Today was a UV index day of 6.5. And what does that mean? Well, you know, it's that time of the year that we start talking about UV indices. That's the plural of index. Indices again. And it's considered high. A 6, anywhere above 6 is pretty high. And that means you need your sunscreen. You need your SPF 30 sunscreen. Well, it depends on what you're going to do. If you're going to play tennis, if you're going to the Kentucky Derby, it's actually raining there. But if you were, you should have a 30 on if you're on the beach. A little early for that. But certainly a 15 is very reasonable for the normal activity around New York, Connecticut, New Jersey. But if you're going to be out on the beach again, you know, this is the dangerous time of the year because here we are in May and people do tend to go outside and try and get a little color to their skin, and you can burn very easily with a UV index of 6.5. All right. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. I'm a board certified plastic surgeon. I'm the host of this show for a long time now. And who am I? Why am I doing this? Well, I like to talk. That's why. Also, I've trained at Harvard. I trained at Cornell. I trained at the University of Chicago. I'm on the faculty of Columbia, the faculty of Rutgers. I've written a few books, one of those with Dr. Oz. And I'm here to answer your call. So give me a call today, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. WABC. Today we're going to be giving away bottles of my Nighttime. Nighttime is a one-stop shopping for skincare. It's got everything you need, and it doesn't have the things you don't need. So I don't have peptides in there. Why don't I have peptides? You know, everybody's talking about those things. Well, you know, they're too big a molecule to really work. They can't get through the skin. There's no science to those, despite what all those companies say. I'm sure they don't like me saying this, but, you know, I just speak the truth. I read the scientific papers, and if it can't work, we're not going to put it in my products. But what does work? Vitamin A, vitamin C, fruit acids, milk, thistle, things like that. Niacin. Niacin's actually in my daytime, that's the morning program. But for the evening, we've got those other things, and you put it on at night before you go to sleep. That's all you need to do, and you are covered for the next day. So Nighttime, that's what we're giving away, bottles. If you have a good question for me, you've got to have a good question. Try and stump me. That's okay. I'm here to answer your questions. 800-848-9222. All right, today we're going to be talking about what almost, probably about half of the population around New York has, the fat neck. That's what we're talking about. Turkey gobblers, right? They call them that. Or maybe double chins. There's lots of names for these things. They're not too affectionate, are they? But so many people have a little bit of extra skin and fat, mostly fat in their necks. And we're going to devote most of the show to talk about fat necks today. It's a field that I spend a lot of time helping remediate. A lot of people come to me and they say, look at this neck. Yeah, I can wear makeup on my face. I can even use some of those skin creams to make me look better. But my neck, no, it's not going to happen. So we're going to talk about everything from the non-surgical treatments to the surgical treatments, and hopefully I'll guide you. I'm here to answer your questions about this. I might infuriate some people when I talk, when I give my opinions, and well, they're opinions, but they're based on facts. I read the literature, and I need to be convinced if a procedure is going to work. So that's what I'm all about. And I, in my practice, which is in Manhattan and in New Jersey, I base my practice on real science. So just because there's a big fancy machine that's being sold at the meetings, just because they've been on Channel 2 or one of those great shows, that doesn't mean the machine works. That doesn't mean it actually does anything, unfortunately. So we'll talk about all those things today. 800-848-9222. We're also going to talk about some new lasers out there. Maybe not so new, but a little new to my practice, the things that that I'm doing. We'll talk about that. The I've been convinced at our plastic surgery meeting this past week that some of this technology that I've been thinking about for a while is probably worth it, because if it's been out there for a number of years and the papers do accumulate showing that they're worthwhile technologies, well, then we'll go ahead and introduce those in the practice and use them with my patients. On the other hand, if there are, last week I talked about the big things in plastic surgery, the things that were promised that never delivered, and there's probably dozens, if not hundreds, of those things over the last 30 years. So let's start talking about fat necks. Now if you look in the mirror, you see hopefully no jowls, but if you're over 50, you're going to see jowls. And what are jowls? Jowls are a collection of fat, and they are also a drooping of your mid-cheek fat downward. So we have, I don't want to bore you with all the anatomy, but you have fibrous tissue and fatty tissue and muscle and skin, and it just follows gravity as we get older. By the time you're 50, if you do not have any visible jowl, one of two things has happened. Either you're not a human, or you have really good genes. I guess there's a third. You've had surgery or a procedure. So most of us do get those very early jowls by the time you're 50. By the time you're 60, they're quite pronounced. By the time you're 70, your face is quite square with those jowls. So that happens simultaneously. The skin of your neck begins to droop a bit. It thins. It loses its elasticity. And we begin to see the muscles underneath. The muscles haven't changed all that much, but now they're drooping. They're not being held up by the skin. So we see the muscles, and if you're like most people, you get some fat in your neck. And even if you are a thin person, I have seen people that are real thin, women that are 118 pounds, and yet they have a little bit of fat underneath the chin. And boy, that bothers you, doesn't it? It really does. And when you look at your profile in the mirror, you no longer have that youthful neck. So what do? Well, there are a lot of different procedures that we can do. So again, today we're going to talk about the surgical procedures, which are things like facelifts. That's kind of the extreme, although it's not an extreme procedure. We're going to talk about liposuction, fat suctioning of the neck. We're going to talk about tightening the muscles of the neck. Now, those are the surgical procedures. We're also going to talk about the non-surgical procedures, the things that you hear about all the time now in the magazines, on TV. Things like Kybella, that's injection of chemicals into the fat. Cool sculpting, that's freezing the fat. One of the newer ones is called Sculpture, that's kind of lasering the fat. And then there's Ulthera. Ulthera is high-energy focused ultrasound. So there's lots of different ways to deal with this, and we'll get to this on this show. But before we do that, we've got a call from Linda. Linda, what can I do for you? What is your wrinkle? Are you there, Linda? Come in, Linda. There you are.
Yes. Good afternoon. Bad cell point. Yes. I was wondering how to and what type of sunscreen to use around the eye area. Should we do it the lid, the brow bone underneath? I do use sunscreen on my face, but I was particularly concerned about that area.
Yeah, Linda, the problem with sunscreens around the eye is that when you sweat or swim, if it gets in your eye, they're all not good for you, whether they're the mineral sunscreens like I like, the zinc oxide or titanium dioxide sunscreens. I think those are the safest ones, or the chemical ones. None of them are good for you if you get them in your eyes. So that's really the problem. So my advice for my patients and for you is to put sunscreen on your entire face up to the eyebrow, and but not on your upper eyelid and not on your lower eyelid. Your lower eyelid goes to where you feel the bone on your lower lid. But rather, use a pair of sunglasses that have good UV protection. And with a pair of sunglasses, and by the way, most eyeglasses, almost all eyeglasses, if you wear eyeglasses, you're getting UV protection. There's some benefit to wearing sunglasses. You don't squint as much. You don't wrinkle as much. But your retina is protected by the glass in your eyeglasses as well as your sunglasses. So I believe, I don't believe it's a government standard, ask your optometrist or optician if the lenses that you're getting are UV protecting lenses. So that's what I advise around the eye, for the simple reason if you're very safe, if you're very careful, you could probably put some of that sunscreen on your eyelids and be careful. But in practicality, it just doesn't work real well, because most of us go out in the summer and you do sweat and you do get in the water. And when that stuff gets in your eye, it's not good for you. So that's what I recommend, Linda. Thanks so much for the call. 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. We'll be back after these words.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
What is your wrinkle? This is a show about wrinkles, about fat, about small breasts, about ears that protrude, noses that are too large, lips that are too small. That's what this show is all about. And I'm your host, board-certified plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry. The phone number here at WABC is 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. And today we're talking about fat necks. Fat necks. You know, we all will get those, most of us anyway. I suppose if you're really thin and have really good genes, maybe you can escape that. But who doesn't have a fat neck? And now, I'm not talking about when you bend down kind of and look at the floor, everybody gets a little rumpled skin. I'm talking about when you look in the mirror and what you're seeing underneath your chin is what's called a convexity. Convexity as opposed to a concavity. Remember those words? The concavity goes in and the convexity goes out, and that's what you see in your neck. And it really destroys the youthful appearance of your neck, and it's the giveaway for someone who might otherwise look pretty youthful, but if you've got that stuff in your neck, it really detracts from your appearance. But, of course, you could have that when you're younger. I've done liposuction of necks in women as young as, I guess my youngest probably was about 22 for this. You know, usually in the neck, we don't like to do it earlier than that, because that fat does tend to redistribute. If you have it when you're 14, that does not mean you're going to have it when you're 22. But if you have it when you're 22, it's yours. It's not going to go away. So we mentioned liposuction. I consider that to be the gold standard for fat in the neck. And we can do liposuction through very small incisions, a little tiny incision underneath the chin and one under each ear. It is a great procedure, a great bang for your buck procedure. And after we return on the second half of the show, I'm going to talk more about liposuction of the neck. We'll talk about facelifts. We'll talk about platysmaplasty. What a word. I'm going to explain what that is later, and the non-invasive procedures. But before we do that, I've got a great guest on the line. And tonight's guest is Dr. Arash Fazel. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. And he is a movement disorder specialist. Now, we haven't had that on the show before. Now, he's at the St. Barnabas Medical Center, which is a Barnabas Health Medical Group facility, all part of Robert Wood Johnson Barnabas Health. So we call that RWJ Barnabas Health now, after the merger of the two major hospitals in New Jersey. So we're going to talk about movement disorders. And what are they? What are they? Well, they include tremors, things like dystonia, Tourette's syndrome, Huntington's disease, ALS, But the most common of all of these is Parkinson's disease. More than a million people in America have Parkinson's, with 60,000 new cases each year. So Dr. Fossil is a board-certified physician, board-certified in psychiatry and neurology. That's the board for neurologists. He specializes in movement disorders, Parkinson's disease, dystonias, we're going to explain all these things, tremors, and deep brain stimulation. He received a PhD as well as an MD from Boston University. He did his residency at Mount Sinai, did a fellowship at NYU, and we're so happy to have him here at the RWJ Barnabas System. Dr. Fossil, did I pronounce your name correctly? That's first.
Yes, that's perfect. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for taking time on your Saturday evening. All right, let's open this discussion. Tell our listeners, what exactly is Parkinson's disease?
Well, Parkinson's disease is a neurodegenerative disorder, which leads to progressive deterioration of motor function due to loss of dopamine-producing brain cells. In addition to losing motor function, those with Parkinson's disease can have urological problems, gastric problems, depression, anxiety, and other conditions. But it is important to remember, Parkinson's isn't fatal. You cannot die of Parkinson's disease.
Well, and that's the good news, I guess. We've all grown up with Michael J. Fox. We know him as the actor. We've seen him grow from a kid and Back to the Future. And now he's actually still on TV. I guess he's almost 60 years old. He's an attorney, plays an attorney on Designated Survivor. Great TV show. But we watch him and we see Michael J. Fox with his Parkinson's disease and his motion disorder, his movement disorder. So who gets Parkinson's disease other than Michael J. Fox?
Oh, wow. Yeah, he's an amazing person. Basically, the older you get, the risk of developing Parkinson's disease goes up. Only about 4% of people with the disease are diagnosed before the age of 50. So age is the largest factor for the development and progression of Parkinson's disease. And men are also at a greater risk, as there are 1.5 times more likely to have the disease than women.
So now, can anything cause it? We heard of Muhammad Ali having a Parkinson's-like syndrome, but, I mean, can it be caused by trauma, or is it a genetic? What causes it?
Well, we still don't know, so our understanding of how Parkinson's comes to be is still in its infancy, really. We are learning more and more and are sometimes surprised by the things that could cause Parkinson's. It is not a strong genetic disease. While we have identified several genes that are associated with Parkinson's disease, the majority of patients don't have any genetic predisposition. And we do know that there is a protein that develops in the brain as a person's Parkinson's disease progresses called alpha-synuclein. This protein seems to be harmful to the brain cells, and it tends to slow down brain function or kill neurons in the brain. But we don't know exactly how it happens just yet. Also, we can no longer say with certainty that Parkinson's originates in the brain. Some doctors in the field, some researchers, have a theory that this protein, which affects the brain, actually starts outside the brain, maybe from the gut or through the olfactory nerve. These are findings that are rather new to our field.
Well, that's very interesting. So how do you diagnose the disease? If someone comes into your office with some sort of emotion disorder, how do you make that diagnosis?
It's a very good question. Actually, the diagnosis of Parkinson's disease requires a comprehensive review of an individual's medical history and a precise physical exam by a neurology specialist. At times, we need to use some imaging modalities to confirm or rule out a diagnosis. Because there is no physical test like a blood test to determine Parkinson's just yet, it is vital to see a specialist to get an accurate diagnosis initially.
And so what are some of the early signs? You know, if someone's just, let's say they're 50 years old and they're sitting at their desk and they go to reach for a pen and they notice something a little funny about the motion, I mean, is that a sign of Parkinson's? Or tell me, what should people look out for?
That's a very good question. Actually, the diagnosis of Parkinson's disease is based on the movement or motor symptoms of it. There are 5 pillars of the diagnosis. One is tremor or trembling in the fingers, hands, or legs, or sometimes jaw. the most often happens when the individual is at rest, not using the limb. Second is bradykinesia, which is a medical term for slowness of voluntary movements that can make it difficult to initiate complex movements. The third is rigidity or stiffness of the limb and trunk that can make it hard to do these fine hand movements, like buttoning a shirt or putting on makeup. Fourth is a gait problem, Parkinsonian gait, that can cause people with more progressive Parkinson's disease to develop a shuffling walk with a stooped position. It becomes difficult to start walking, and sometimes individuals turn to the side, and sometimes they freeze as they want to start to walk, and they appear to fall forward when walking. And the fifth is usually postural instability that can also cause falls due to impaired reflexes that make it difficult to adjust posture and maintain balance. So those five are the pillars of diagnosis, so we look for those.
All right, my guest this evening is Dr. Arash Fazal. He is a neurologist from the RWJ Barnabas Health System, and he is a motion disorder specialist. He's someone that treats diagnoses and Parkinson's disease and other motion disorders. So let's get right to let's say we've diagnosed someone with Parkinson's disease. Tell me some of the treatments now. What in 2018? What do you do for people like this?
So unfortunately, there is no cure to Parkinson's disease. We cannot make it go away. But there are treatments to alleviate the patient's symptoms. Pharmacological interventions, for example, can aid dopamine production in the brain and make up for those motor deficits. There are also surgical therapies, such as deep brain stimulation, that can help alleviate the symptoms. Other therapies are focused on occupational, physical, and speech therapies. But I should emphasize, exercise is one of the most important treatments that probably can slow down the progression of the disease.
All right. Now you have a center at St. Barnabas Medical Center. It's called the Movement Disorders and Neurology Center. I'm going to give out the phone number now. It's 973-322-7023. So once again, write this down if you think you have something like this or a relative does, 973-322-7023. That's the St. Barnabas Medical Center Movement Disorders and Neurology Center. So what sets St. Barnabas Center and the Movement Disorders Center apart from other facilities? Tell us.
Well, at St. Barnabas Medical Center Movement Disorder Center, the neurologists and neurosurgeons collaborate and work hand in hand to offer individuals treatment plans and specialized surgical treatments for patients with Parkinson's disease. We also have a very active Parkinson's Family Advisory Committee to identify the needs of those patients with Parkinson's disease while they are in our care. Hospital leadership, most importantly, continues to implement many of the committee's suggestions, which has greatly improved the standard of care for the patient's community.
So now, Dr. Fazal, well, unfortunately, we're going to run out of time, but it's such an interesting topic, and I hope to have you on again, but I do want to give out that number at the St. Barnabas Medical Center Movement Disorders Center. It's 973-322-7023. Dr. Arash Fazal, a great neurologist, thank you so much for taking time on your Saturday evening.
Thanks for having me.
All right. It's been a pleasure. We've got more to the show. Stay tuned. 800-848-9222.
What's your wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is the show about you, the show about what you look like. I'm here to help you. I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon. This is your consult without having to pay the few hundred dollars in the office and to get your questions answered. This is what you do. You give me a call, and you can ask me questions that have been bothering you. You can ask me questions. Let's say you're going to have a consultation this week, and you don't know what to ask. This is the show to call first. Or you had one last week, and you forgot that one question. I'm happy to answer your question. But remember, when I answer your questions, we're doing it on the radio, and that means you're not my patient, and we can't get real specific with you, And if you have a real medical issue, you have to talk to your own doctor, of course. This is a radio program. Some people forget that. I wish I could. You could put your face right up to your radio and I could see it, but we can't do that. Diane, what can I do for you? What is your wrinkle?
Oh, hi. I'm glad you answered my call. Okay, basically, I looked 20 years younger until in December when I turned 65. Now I have a perfect neck. I don't have any fat. The only thing I have is under my chin, and that's because my face is drooping, starting from around my cheekbones. And when I push it up a little bit, I have no wrinkles. How do I get rid of that?
All right, let me ask you the million-dollar question, Diane. Okay. Do you smoke?
Yes.
How'd I know that? How did I know that? I'll tell you how I knew it, because I could tell from you have a smoker's voice.
Oh,
there's,
no.
There's no hope for you, Diane, until you quit smoking. There's no hope until you quit smoking. You have to quit.
I take NAC. I've tried.
Diane, come on now. Come on. You are poisoning your body with cigarettes.
I know.
Plain and simple. And those of you who vape, you're doing the same thing. You marijuana smokers out there, don't kid yourself. It's worse than cigarette smoke. Come on now.
Well,
you're
I don't
killing
smoke
yourself.
Marijuana, but...
Well, you know, you're smoking tobacco. You need to quit. If you care enough to call this show, stop smoking. And you know,
okay, but how?
Wait a minute. The best thing you can do is go to one of those smoking cessation clinics. There's one up at Columbia. There's a lot of these around the city. You have to look for them. But the one at Columbia is one of the nation's oldest ones. They use all the different modalities, you know, patches, psychotherapy. I think they do hypnosis. There's all sorts of ways. You know, I can't tell you on this show how to quit smoking. I can just tell you to quit smoking, because if you don't, if you're 65 years old, you will shorten your life by somewhere between 7 and 10 years. Actually, even a little bit more than that. I think it's 14 years. If you quit today, you can gain some of those years back. So just do yourself a favor.
So let's say I quit. Then what can you do?
All right. So, and by the way, there's a plastic surgeon in New York who did a study, and he looked at twins. One smoked, one did not, and he took pictures all through life. And the smoking twin looks much older than the non-smoking twin. So very important there. All right, what can you do? So you quit today. You throw those cigarettes out, stomp on them, get rid of them today. And then what you can do, you'll notice that your voice changes within a couple weeks. I won't be able to tell that you were a smoker in just a few weeks. Your body will feel better in so many different ways. So you stop smoking, your skin will actually look better, because I bet you, if I looked at you, you probably have a little bit of a gray hue to your skin, as most long-term smokers do. And the reason is you've been robbing your skin of nutrients for so long. Forget about any supplements that you think you can take or diet or anything like that. You're killing yourself. So, well, I'll get off my soapbox. But truly, cigarette smoking did kill both of my parents. And, you know, those of you who have listened to me over the years, you know, I've talked about this over the years. So it's really very personal to me. And I hate to see that happen to other people. So, all right, you stop smoking. What can you do? The first thing you do is a good skincare program. That is not just trite. It's not BS. A good skincare program can help you. Probably the most important thing for a smoker is vitamin C. Because it helps build back some of that collagen that you are destroying with cigarette smoke. So a good skincare program with exfoliants and vitamin C, you know, I'm biased. I created one. It's called Nighttime. So, yes, that's something you can do. But then, you know, you go to visit the plastic surgeon. No one is going to do a facelift on you while you smoke, by the way, because you know what, Diane? Smokers have a 20 times higher complication rate when they have facelifts, breast lifts, and tummy tucks. Those are the three operations that are basically forbidden in smokers. Most plastic surgeons will turn down smokers. Not all of them, but personally, I wouldn't go to a plastic surgeon that did a facelift on a smoker. Sorry.
Well, how long do you have to be off tobacco in order to have the procedure?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's difficult to answer that. I think at least a few months of being absolutely smoke-free, because you're not going to go back down to the baseline of risk for a long time. The longer you stop smoking, the better off you'll be. The worst, of course, are active smokers. You know, a single puff of a cigarette constricts blood vessels for 6 hours, 6 hours. And all plastic surgeons know stories of smokers who had facelifts where the skin on their face died after the facelift, turned black, and had to be what's called debrided, removed. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. So you don't want to do that. I don't think that that would happen after a few months of not smoking, as long as the plastic surgeon doesn't pull too hard on the skin. We do have to be careful and consider the history. And it's the same with diabetics. And although most diabetics will not have facelifts because of the risk of losing skin, and other diseases like rheumatoid arthritis, where the small blood vessels are affected. But there are other things that we can do besides a facelift. So there are these procedures. One is called Ulthera. Ulthera is high energy focused ultrasound. It's sort of like a laser, but it doesn't destroy the skin. It is safe in smokers, so even if you kept on smoking, that's terrible. But if you did, you could still have Ulthera, although the effect of Ulthera is relatively mild compared to a facelift or other things, but it still works. It will lift your jowls a little bit. It'll tighten your neck a little bit. It'll lift your brows. So Ulthera is something that you might consider. I'm sure you have smoker's lines around your mouth, right?
What, creases?
Yeah, those wrinkles,
no,
like little...
No, I don't have any deep wrinkles, just very light, and then they go away if I push my face up. I have great
Wait a
jeans.
Minute. What do you mean, push your face up? I would bet you, I can't prove it over the radio, that if I looked at you, we took a good photograph of you, you've got those lines. At 65 as a smoker, if you're human, if you're not human, maybe not, but if you're human... you will have those lines that go around your lips like spokes
of a wheel. I'm going to make an appointment with you.
Okay. All right. I'll bet you. And if you do have those lines, which you probably do, then we
they're
fill those.
They're coming now, though.
All right. Well, they're coming.
I want to get rid of them.
All right. And by the way, I am a strong believer in the concept of aging spurts. I wrote about that in my book, Straight Talk About Cosmetic Surgery. Aging spurts, like growth spurts, occur as you get older. You know, we know that our hormones decline as we get older, and, estrogen and progesterone, you know that because your periods end. But what you don't know is that your growth hormone and thyroid hormone and all sorts of other hormones, some of which we don't even know about yet, kind of like planets in the others around other stars, we don't know about all the hormones that we have that are also declining as we get older, but they don't decline linearly, meaning, you know, just every day a little bit less. They kind of sit there at a level and then they go down. And that's when people say, my goodness, I looked in the mirror and I have aged rapidly over the last month. And sometimes that's associated with traumatic events and stress, both physical and mental stress, or the death of a loved one or something like that, because other hormones are affected during stress also. So we see those things all the time. It's very common to kind of chug along and look about the same for a while, a year or two or three, and then bang, your hair turns gray over the course of just a couple months. So what do we do? We're not going to affect your hormones, but certainly, stopping smoking, exercise, a good diet, that's what you can do. The plastic surgeon puts you on a skincare program that really works. We use fillers. We use things like Ulthera. We use sometimes lasers and peels and things of that nature to make you look as good as possible. And when we're sure that you're not smoking, then a facelift could be your answer. All right? All right,
okay,
Diane?
Great.
Now you have your marching order. So the only way to do this, now, do you have a husband, by the way?
Oh, I'm divorced.
Okay.
I have a boyfriend.
Does your boyfriend smoke? I bet he does.
Yeah, I know. Yep. That's what's hard.
That's what's hard.
He's not allergic to any patches or anything. I wear a patch and I break out. It looks like I have
disease. That's just one of the ways. So here's what you have to do. See, you're never going to quit smoking if he still smokes. You have to convince your boyfriend that both of you are going to live and not die from smoking, because you will die from smoking. Mm-hmm. So what you want to do is convince your boyfriend. And there is no question that, just like being an alcoholic, having a buddy to quit with is much, much more effective than quitting alone. So see if you can have a pact with your boyfriend.
Yeah, I'm going to have a long talk with him the next time I see him.
I wish you the best. All right, thanks so much for the call. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. 800-848-9222. 800-848-WABC. We'll be right back.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, board-certified plastic surgeon, host of this show for a long time now. I've got offices in Manhattan, right across from Saks Fifth Avenue on Fifth Avenue, a busy section of town, but very easy to get to with the subway system. Everybody tells me it's a good move moving from 57th to 47th. I love 57th Street, but apparently it's much easier for you to get to, so good for you. And also in central New Jersey, I'm in Somerset County, Franklin Township, right in the geographic center of the state. So give me a call. The phone number in my New Jersey office is 732-422-9600. In Manhattan, it's 212-753-1820. So we're talking about fat necks, and we're going to get to Grace in just a minute, who wants to talk about maybe not so fat necks, but we'll talk about that. You know, it's a big topic, and we're going to try and get to all the different approaches to destroying or removing fat in the neck. But in the next week or so, I'm going to talk to you a lot about lasers because, you know, we haven't talked much about the different lasers and those new and not so new machines that have proven themselves over the years. The CO2 laser, which was really very, very popular, you know, until about 10 or so years ago, and then it declined in popularity. But at our plastic surgery meeting, our annual meeting last week, you know, there are lots and lots of us that are still using these machines because they're tried and proven. So we'll talk next week about the CO2 laser. We're going to talk about tattoo removal next week because I haven't talked too much about that. And how many of you have tattoos that you absolutely hate? You get these things and then you look at them when the alcohol wears off and you say, what have I done? I actually had one girl brought in by her mother the morning after she got a tattoo. It was still red. She called me up, you know, 9 a.m. Oh my God, my daughter did this. So, you know, we can remove tattoos with these lasers. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about IPL, intense pulse light, which is good for all sorts of things. It can lighten brown spots and lighten red spots, and it can actually help acne. And it can be used in acne in adults better than adolescent acne. Acne in adults is sort of a different animal there. And we're going to talk about the YAG lasers, all these things we have in my office. Coming up, we're going to talk about all these things. I don't talk about those enough on this show. But before we do that, let's talk to Grace. What can I do for you? What's your wrinkle, Grace?
Hi, Dr. Perry. Love your show. I am 61. I'm a former heavy smoker. I gave it up 2.5 years ago.
Congratulations. And, thank you.
Well, thank you.
On
thank
behalf you. Of anyone who knows you, thank you.
Especially my daughter.
Yeah.
My husband also gave it up at the same time.
Good. That's
but,
great.
Yeah, but much to my concern, shortly after giving it up, I developed turkey neck. Nothing terrible. It's mild. And crow's feet around my eyes. And I am pre-diabetic. And I'm wondering, am I still considered high risk?
Well, you're not taking insulin. You're not taking insulin,
no.
right?
Okay,
no, good. Are you taking a drug like, you know, glucophage
nothing.
Or something?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. My A1C is 6.
Okay. All right. You're fine. You're not at risk like a diabetic who's got a hemoglobin A1C of 8 and is on insulin. It's mostly the insulin-dependent diabetics that are at high risk with a facelift or something like that. So you're fine. You're just like everybody else, although you did smoke, but you stopped, so that's good. So you've got that turkey neck. So let's talk about that. Have you considered surgery or non-surgery or what?
I'd consider surgery, definitely, to get rid of it. I don't have any major wrinkles on my face. I don't have any lip line, but I do have the crow's feet when I smile. And I have the mild turkey, the loose skin now, and some mild jowls. I'm starting to look like my mother.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I said that on the Oprah show about 10 years ago, and I said to Oprah, my patients tell me they look in the mirror and they see their mother and they don't like it. And, you know, they booed me on the show for that because some people thought that was offensive. But I was simply just telling what, you know, it's not that you don't love your mother, but when you...
My mother.
Of course. We all love our mothers, right? But when you look in the mirror and you see your mother, you know, you might not want to see your mother in the mirror. You want to might want to see yourself younger, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So, all right. So here's what we do. If you're 61, then we're not going to be doing liposuction, most likely. Liposuction is a method of fat removal. I did it on a 49-year-old this past week. It all depends on the integrity of the skin, the elasticity of the skin. But for the most part, you know, over mid-50s, we're not going to be able to suction fat because then we have other issues such as hanging skin or bands in the neck, things like that. And that's where the facelift comes in. So a facelift is a great procedure. I love facelifts, and I love, you know, I really do. I mean, what can I say? I'm biased. I'm a plastic surgeon, but I love them more now than I did 30 years ago when I was in residency training because the operation is so much better now. The recovery is faster. I do what's called a short scar facelift, so we don't need to make incisions in the hairline anymore. It used to be we made about 2 inches above the ear in the hairline, an incision, and then we continued the incision in front of the ear, and then it went behind the ear, and then back in the hairline. And the most visible part of the whole facelift was that incision behind the ear, which even in the best of hands, the best plastic surgeons, those incisions there do not heal well. They just don't look good. They're white, obvious scars. So you would never wear your hair back. You'd never put it up, put it in a ponytail or in a bun, or go swimming in public after that kind of a facelift. That's just a fact of life. The short scar facelift, which I've been doing for over 10 years now, and probably about half of plastic surgeons in the United States do this operation. The short scar facelift eliminates the scars above the ear and behind the ear. And we can do it in almost everybody, not 100% of people, that if you've got tons and tons and tons of extra skin, we might have to make longer incisions. But for the most part, we can do these short scars. And the nice thing about the short scar facelift is it's just as difficult or even more difficult for the plastic surgeon. So we're not making it easy on ourselves. Shorter scars mean it's a little harder for us. But for you, recovery is faster. And I think it's actually safer for you because we're a little further away from some of the important nerves of the face. But most of my patients, 6 weeks later, don't even have to cover those incisions with makeup. And that's not everybody. I can't promise that with everybody. But I can certainly show lots and lots of pictures at 6 weeks, at 3 months, at 6 months, where the scars look really quite good. So through those, I also have to make an incision under the chin. And we suction the fat out. That's for your little turkey gobbler that you talked about. And then we also often have to go underneath the muscles and remove a little bit of fat. So we can't just do suction. And then we bring those muscles together. Those muscles are the muscles that create bands in the neck. Remember Katharine Hepburn, the great actress?
Yes.
She never had a facelift as far as I know. She wasn't my patient.
Yeah.
I think she died a long time ago. But if you look at those old movies, you see these bands in her neck. She's sort of like the poster child for bands in the neck. So those, I call them the Katharine Hepburn bands. And we want to bring those together. And I do a pretty aggressive operation in the neck to sew those bands together with stitches that stay in for 6 months and then dissolve. And that really helps the contour of the neck and gives you a much more youthful neck. So that's the facelift. It's a two-layered facelift because we also do a second layer underneath the skin where we lift the jowl in its own layer. So you're out of commission for about 2 weeks. You can you feel okay. Most of my patients don't require anything but Tylenol afterwards, by the way. It's a four-hour procedure, about that. It's an outpatient procedure. You go home the same day. And we do it with you awake, not asleep, because it's actually safer. And also, there's a lower chance of complications like bleeding or something like that. If you got nauseated with general anesthesia, that would be a pretty bad thing after a facelift. So that's the story with a facelift, Grace.
What about the InstaLift procedure? I'm not a candidate for that then.
No, not necessarily. You might be, but it's not going to help the neck. The InstaLift is one of those new procedures that I also do, and it's a new version of the old ThreadLift. The ThreadLift, I said 10 years ago that the ThreadLift was threadbare because it was flawed, but these new threads are better, and they're dissolving. The old ones were permanent material, not so good. So these threads, we put three or four in each cheek under the skin in an office procedure. And we lift up the folds of the face, the nasolabial fold, and we lift the jowls. And you look like an alien for about a week or so because it bunches up the skin. So there's still downtime. You're not going to go right outside, even though it's an office procedure and we call it minimally invasive. There's still downtime. But about a week or so later, that skin begins to settle down and you can go out. Now, the thing about the InstaLift is it's only going to last between 1 year and maybe a year and a half. That's about it. So it is a short-term procedure as opposed to a facelift, which you should get 7, 10, 15 years sometimes out of. You know, I've got pictures of patients that are, you know, more than 10 years out from a facelift, and they still look better than before the facelift. So InstaLift is out there. It's a good procedure. So is Ulthera. That's even less of a lift than the InstaLift. If you were going to compare the procedures, the facelift is the best, and then InstaLift, and then Ulthera, and all those other non-invasives. Well, I could talk forever about this, but when that music creeps up, they're going to yank me right out of the studio. Thanks so much for calling, Grace. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This has been What's Your Wrinkle, the plastic surgery show on WABC. Check me out on Facebook. Don't forget Facebook. And PerryPlasticSurgery.com is the website. And the products, DrPerry's.com. We'll see everybody next week. Thanks for great engineering. Bye-bye now.